to Real Career Talk. I am your host, Phil Perquette. This is a monthly interview brought to you by the Network National, where we spend 30 minutes with internal and external experts discussing career hot topics. As we start off 2022, our Real Career Talk team wants you, our Network National audience, to focus on three areas: happiness, success, and health. Now, arguably, when you're focusing on these three areas and they're all aligned, it can lead to a very fulfilling life and a very prosperous career, shall we say. So inevitable, in 2022, probably you're going to have these questions. How am I going to reach these goals? I got all of these obstacles in front of me. How do I maneuver and keep it moving forward? How do I like to say, how do I stay powerful in that moment? Today, we're speaking with Angela Bergen Logan, Director of Marketing at AT&T. She started a new job. She was getting married. She was having a baby. She was moving into a new home. And then she came into the realization that her health could put all of this having it all at risk. In our episode today, she explains the theory of grit. She talks about her book, Breathe. We're privileged and honored to have her here on today. Welcome, Angela.
Hey, Phil. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
Awesome. So now, tell us a little, the way we like to get started. You look awesome. Let's be powerful in the moment. Let's have a great session. I believe that the Network National audience will love to hear from you on today. Tell us a little bit about yourself. We can Google you. But what is it that you would want the audience to know that you might not find in Google?
Well, you know, honestly, thank you so much again for having me. I think that Google can be your friend. I've learned a lot of things from Google, to be honest with you. But one of the things that people may not know is that who I am is someone who is centered on faith. I am someone who is happy. I'm someone who is living her dream, not the dream, but her dream. I am a mother, which is my most honored title and position. I'm a wife. I'm certainly a business person. And ultimately, what I do to bring all of that together is I'm a storyteller. I tell stories for people, for products, for brands. And I also tell my own story. I think that's something that's really important for us to know. I'm someone who does that now, and I've learned how to do that more unapologetically. It is a walk every day. I'm learning to be more my authentic self. But one of the things that you'll think about when you think about Angela is someone who is out there living happy, who is living unapologetically, and who is walking in faith.
I love that. That's so awesome. Now, I love the fact that you said not living the dream, her dream. Tell me a little bit about that. I can't let that get away. You know, my dream, her dream. Talk to me more about that.
Sure. Well, you know, I think that a lot of times, and I've been one of those people, when I was young, you know, at first I wanted to, I've had a lot of changes in my career, but I think they've all brought me to this place. But when I was a kid, you know, I used to say, oh, you know, I want to be a lawyer, because I knew I wanted to help people. I knew I wanted to encourage people. And then I had this moment where I decided I wanted to go into sports. I was going to be the female Jerry Maguire, right?
Okay. All right.
And I did a lot in the sports world. And then I said, you know, I transitioned to working with some of the companies that I had done a lot of deals with. And I had worked for a huge CPG company. And I said, well, I'm going to be the president of this company. And I realized that in each one of those journeys and each one of those moments in my personal life and career, that I might have been buying into someone else's dream. This is what success looks like. And so what I've learned through my own personal journey, through my own actual near-death experience, is that that dream is something that is meant to be personal for you. And so I no longer feel bound to what someone else views as success. I no longer feel bound to what I've even used to view as success. I feel bound to living my dream now, every single day, every single moment that I get up, when my feet hit the floor, I am out there trying to accomplish, trying to be positive, trying to encourage, and trying to fulfill a greater purpose that I believe I have in myself. And so my dream is to just use every single day to do that, and to believe that in every single day that I'm doing that, that I'm experiencing success. And so that is my dream, is to get up and to be who I am unapologetically every day, versus living a dream that someone else may have told me is great, or someone else may have said is great. I've now set up in my heart, in my journey, what that dream is for me.
Finding your purpose, your divine purpose, as some would say, in some areas of life, finding what it is that you are assigned to be doing, that is so critical to being successful and finding fulfillment. I love how you stated, when I put my feet down on the ground, that I spend the rest of the day unapologetically pursuing my purpose. Watch out. Talk to me, Angela. All right. So, well, let's talk about professional for a moment. You are the director of marketing at AT&T. Tell me about that role. What attracted you to it?
Well, you know, honestly, it's one of those beautiful, perfect storms in a way. I had done many things. I think I've shared with you some of the passions I've had and some of the journeys I've taken over the course of my career. And I had actually been in a place where I had done a lot of work in sports marketing. I had done all this work in retail and in the consumer packaged goods space and in marketing. I decided I wanted more, and I wanted to understand how to tell stories, my own story, a story I hadn't really been telling, and created my own business and began to work with other brands, but also began to create content and produce films and wrote a book and did all of these things. And in the process of doing that, I learned about this opportunity at AT&T. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, wow, you know, I've worked for other people, I've worked for myself, and now there's this unique opportunity. And what drew me to it was the idea that this was a communications company. This is a company about connecting people. And that's kind of where my passion was. My passion was always around, how do I connect and bring people together for something greater? To tell stories with each other, to tell stories about each other, to share with the culture. And so I felt that working with AT&T was going to enable me to fulfill my purpose. It was going to enable me to be able to do something great, which is, again, to be able to connect people. And so I was really excited about the opportunity. And quite frankly, it was also an opportunity to touch multicultural consumers. And so for me, this was a passion of mine. I know that a lot of times you'll hear about you know, underrepresented, you know, communities and multicultural communities. Mm-hmm. And I don't really think that, I don't know if I always love that moniker, those titles. I kind of think about it as underaddressed. And so I knew that there was opportunities for us to talk to multicultural consumers in dynamic and full ways in the full spectrum of who people are. And right. So working with AT&T would give me that opportunity to address audiences that deserve to be served and to connect people around the world. And so that was exciting for me. And it was something that I decided, you know, this is, I've got to go for it. I've got to place myself in a position where I can impact change in a way that's positive.
Mm-hmm. So you're in the role now. How long have you been in that role, if you don't mind me asking?
I mean, you blink and 4 years have passed. I mean, Whoa. So it's been about... It's been about 4 years. Okay. And I'm very excited and grateful to have been here and to be learning and to meeting wonderful people like you and working with people across the company and certainly across the globe, just working with consumers. Sure. But it's been about 4 years.
You know, so you've been in your role for 4 years. You have people that's probably going to listen and watch this podcast that are just starting out in their career. Now that you've been in the role, you've been an entrepreneur, you've done a lot, you're focusing on success and fulfillment for yourself. Give your audience one lesson that you've learned as a leader about what it takes to be happy and maybe even successful at AT&T overall.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Listen, you're getting into it. All right, so I want this audience to listen up to this. It sounds cliche, but it is something I've learned over time. You know, I feel like I'm born to rule. I'm just going to be honest. I'm one of those people who wake up and say, you know, I'm born to rule. But I don't think that you have to be a ruler to rule. I also don't think you have to be a leader to lead. And so every position that you have, whether it's AT&T, whether it's your own business, whether it's another company, I believe that you have to walk into that position and claim everything that's in it for you. I think that you take that position and you lead in that position in the strongest possible way that you can. Of course, you're going to work across to your peers and to your direct you're going to work with direct reports. You're going to work with managers. You're going to work with other people across across your business. But if you show up every day leading in your role, that is one way that you're going to stand out and have that sense of personal fulfillment.
Mm-hmm. Having personal fulfillment. I love that. You don't have to be the leader per se. In our leadership development courses, we often found that the person with the title wasn't necessarily the influencer. You can have the title and not be the influencer. You can have the management role and management word behind your name, but not necessarily be the one that the people go to. So I love that. That's an don't let anything. I'm starting to get a picture about you. You don't let anything stop.
Yes. I've learned. And it doesn't mean that I don't have challenges. I do have challenges. Even in AT&T, I have lots of challenges. But I've learned that persistency and consistency is the thing that helps me overcome those challenges. I've also realized that for me, struggles have helped me to uncover some of my strengths. And so I really think about every single situation that I'm in to say, what can I learn from this and how can I be better? And so that's kind of how I approach it is thinking about what can I get out of this situation? It doesn't mean that I don't want more because I do, but it means,
go ahead, yeah, I'm sorry.
But I'm also happy with the place that I'm in. And so I'm always striving for what more can I do? What more can I learn? But I'm also content to say that while I'm in this position, I'm going to maximize it.
Mm-hmm. I have to tell you, I'm so resonating with your statement. We're going to come back to struggles in a moment. I firmly believe I live by the mantra, life is lessons learned, positives and the challenges. Whenever I taught a class, I said, here were the strengths and here were the opportunities, not the negatives. I don't look at it as positive negatives. I look at it as here were strengths and here was opportunity considered. And it's all about focus. So our theme this year, or today actually, is about grit or resilience. And we understand you wrote the book Breathe. Take a moment and talk to us, because you mentioned struggles, and talk to us about what was your inspiration behind the book Breathe.
Thank you so much. You know, honestly, there's so much to that. I could just talk for days and days and days about the inspiration behind Breathe. And I'm going to tell you a few things before I get into like why I actually did it. But I actually, at the end of 2020, I actually looked back and said to myself, I wrote this book, Breathe, years before we talked about a George Floyd. I wrote this book many years before we talked about some of the names that we so frequently see. And so for me, the idea of Breathe was actually truthfully to tell my story. I actually had a near-death experience. The experience that I had was around a health-related disorder. But the reality is I was in the predicament I was in because of being predisposed by race. And so some people can say, well, hey, I wound up having a maternal health issue. And you say, well, sometimes you're predisposed by race and, certain, ethnicities have this and that and the other thing when it comes to their health. But my predisposition was my race because of racism, not because of me being an African-American woman. And so I found myself in this place because of mistreatment and poor treatment that I received and not really understanding the situation I was in fully. I knew there was something wrong, but I didn't know what it was. I didn't know how to put a name on it, but I did know I wasn't getting the help that I needed. For me, once I had this ordeal, and by the grace of God, truthfully, I'm actually here. I was actually given a 20% chance to live. I was actually categorized as the sickest person in the hospital when I was there. I was sick, suffering from heart, lung, and kidney failure. And it was just a miracle, you know, being given a 20% chance to live and making it. For me, it was a call to action. It was me going from, you know, when I got on the mend, I was on a mission to kind of tell my story to improve the outcome for other women and their families. And mm-hmm. So in this instance, I was suffering from, you know, a maternal health issue. I wound up having an undiagnosed pregnancy disorder called preeclampsia. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. That disorder led me, because of the mistreatment that I received and the lack of treatment, to wind up suffering again from heart failure, which is a condition I still live with today. But all of these things could have been treated. And so the fact that I had it, you know, that probably was going to happen. But the way that medical professionals responded to me and the disorder, it could have changed that outcome. And so what we find oftentimes for, you know, people of color is that that is the case, is that our outcomes can be different based on how we've been treated. And so this idea of breathe for me, it was a literal expression. I literally was struggling to breathe. And I wound up not even realizing I was actually drowning, to be quite frank with you. I wound up having this condition where I was literally drowning, and, you know, from edema. And so I was struggling to breathe. But this idea of breathe, this idea of people of color wanting to and needing to and deserving to be treated well, is something that I think is about my personal story, but it's something that can resonate across the spectrum for people of color. Mm-hmm.
So let's come back to, wow, this is so phenomenal. So talk to me then how being super resilient ties into breathing, if you don't mind, real quick from that experience. Super resilient, the word grit, I think we're using today as well. How does that tie into this book, Breathe? It required you to what?
You know, I will tell you that having grit and resilience is something that I think that we don't often give ourselves enough credit for. And so when people are in the midst of a struggle, and I've been there, not only with this, I've been there at many different points in my life. Sometimes people, we tend to look down on ourselves, and sometimes we can look down on others. And so you have to step back and say to yourself, what is this moment teaching me? And so for me, the idea of having grit and resilience is having that staunch belief that whatever that moment is, that you're there to learn from it, and that whatever that moment is, that you can overcome it. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that is what I learned through this journey, is that each and every day that I'm here, that I'm able to, you know, take a step forward, it is something that I am dedicated to learning. I'm dedicated to overcoming. And I have that belief that I will. And so for me, that grit and resilience is, again, just having that staunch belief that you can overcome, and also not looking down in the moment that you're in, saying, hey, this moment is here to teach me something. I'm going to grow. I'm going to improve. And I'm going to walk away from this experience being stronger, being wiser, and certainly being happier.
Mm-hmm. Do you believe that people can become, if everything was great, you know, and you're never put in a situation to, I don't want to use the word suffer, but to be challenged? Because when you think about resilience, it is the ability in the face of adversity, conflict, confusion, and some words might be tragedy, threats, and so forth, you're able to adjust, you're able to bend, you're able to adapt, shall we say. Does this kind of stuff make us more well-rounded? What do you think, Angela?
I mean, I'd have to tell you, it does. I mean, I actually put up a post recently on social media, and someone pointed out something to me, and I had to stop and think about it. And so I was talking about how my survival guide might be, the way I survive might be someone else's survival guide. And the person said, well, maybe it should be your thriving guide. Maybe it shouldn't be about surviving. Maybe it should be about thriving. And I will tell you that both of those things can be true at the same time. And so the fact that we go through struggles, those struggles can mean different things for different people. You know, so someone could say, hey, you're, you know, not yet, but will be. But, you know, you're a millionaire. How are you struggling? Or, you know, you've got a beautiful family. How are you struggling? Or you've got a dream job. How are you struggling? So the struggles can look different to different people.
Yes.
But inside whatever that struggle is for you, there is something that you can take that can shape and mold and develop you. And so I've looked differently at some of the struggles that I've had in my life, even financial struggles. You know, there were times where I was like, you know, what have I done? I made a mistake. How could this be happening?
That moment, that's what we're talking about. The oh my God moment.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. You know, what is happening? Instead of realizing that what is happening is more of what is shaping, what is coming out of this? How am I growing from this? How am I going to learn from this? What can I use from this? And so, you know, there can't, you know, for me, I am a person of faith. And so I oftentimes tell people, you can't have a testimony without a test.
Watch out.
And so sometimes you have to go through things in order for you to, really discover your power. And sometimes you can learn from other people and discover your power. Whatever that journey is for you, just embrace the journey, knowing that you are ever growing, ever changing, and that you can have your dream if you embrace every single step of your journey.
Mm-hmm. Now, you say that you love telling a story. I'm excited. I'm gonna read your book. I'm gonna read your book. You're a great storyteller. Your book is really a journal, a personal journal. And you mentioned in your book a breakthrough moment. And you're talking about where this breakthrough challenged you to take greater control of your health, your life, and your career. We've been listening to the challenges and the resilient moments that you had. So talk to your audience about some of the, based on all of what you've learned and what you've been through, what are some steps you put in place or rituals that you do daily that helps you stay in front of your health and even your wellness from that point of view?
Sure. You know, one of my breakthroughs was that I realized that the greatest advocate that you have is yourself. And so it took me a while to realize that I've got to advocate for myself. You know, sometimes we're relying on others, we're relying on medical professionals, we're relying on educators, we're relying on managers, we're relying on family. And I realized that at some point we have to start to say, I'm going to advocate for myself. There's no one who can tell my story better than me. There's no one that knows my body better than me. There's no one who knows my desires better than me. And so I learned that we do have to become our own biggest advocate. And some of the steps that I put in place to do that is just really a consistent walk. And so, you know, there's not a magic formula. Mm-hmm. You know, there is no shortcut to success. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Truthfully, for me, the way that you get there is consistently showing up mm-hmm. when you don't feel like it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't even matter if you just show up just a little bit, but every day you're consistently out there saying, you know what? I'm working towards my goals. And, yes. and if someone says, well, you're in your dream job, how are you still working towards your goals? I'm someone that feels like I can dream a new dream every day. And so even if I've landed in a place where I have something that I've been working for and I'm here, there's more for me to learn. There's more for me to discover. There is no limit to what I can achieve. And so that's how I try to approach my life, is saying that every single day I'm going to get up, I'm going to show up. Even when I don't feel like it, I'm going to do a little. And on the days when I don't feel like it, it's okay for me to say, you know what? I'm going to take a little self-care day. Sure. Because that's a part of my journey. It's a part of me recharging so that that next day I can show up stronger, more mentally ready, and prepared to just to seize the moment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you're talking about sometimes taking time for yourself is a good thing. We have seen lately, as a matter of fact, we've seen our, some celebrities or sports athletes, the tennis star and the gymnastic star that are like pivoting and saying, hey, I need a moment. Even when it comes to coming to work, having those personal, mental, that have it, take making it personal for yourself. These mental and physical and wellness checks are good. Coming to work, it's good. Why, Angela?
Well, I tell you one thing. One of the things I have learned, and it took time, because when you're out there trying to achieve, and I'm talking about going after your dreams and doing things, you know, people are always talking about the hustle. You know, you got to be out there working it and doing it. And I do believe that. But I also believe that there is some balance in your life. And so for me, that intention that I'm setting, that I'm going to be living my dream, it means that I've got to be healthy. I've got to be fulfilled. So as part of me living my dream, I got to take some time aside to say, hey, I'm going to replenish. And that time might be 10 minutes a day. Mm-hmm. It might be a time for you to just sit back, relax, listen to music, read a book, meditate, just have a moment. It could be your commute, where it's your time for yourself. It could be that small moment. It could be taking a small vacation. It could be whatever it is that provides you with the opportunity to be replenished. Mm-hmm. I will tell you that for me, quite frankly, 2020 was the first year that I actually said to myself, am I having a mental health challenge?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And I think that we've been conditioned to take things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We have been conditioned to, you know, to definitely overcome. And I believe in overcoming. I believe that I can overcome. But I also believe that there is a moment that you can say to yourself, in order for me to be great today, in order for me to be great tomorrow, it is okay for me to say, hey, I need a moment. I need to make a part of my plan myself. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm getting up and I'm being unapologetically me, I'm also saying, it's okay for me to say, hey, I need a few minutes in the day for myself. I need a little time over the weekend. I'm going to plan some time to take a short vacation, a staycation, you know, I'm going to make fun in my home. I'm going to create that opportunity for me to be centered so that I can really show up and be all that I'm meant to be.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. These are all awesome points. We're nearing the end of our time, but I got to ask you this question before we wrap up. Now, we're talking about resilience, super resilience, grit. In your opinion, in about a minute or so, are there, this is where we get into the area where I might challenge you, Angela. No, I'm just kidding. But are there differences between men and women when it comes to being resilient? And if so, one difference would be what?
Well, you're challenging me. You know, I will tell you, I will give you a funny story.
I'm listening.
Where, you know, my husband and myself both went to take a COVID vaccine booster.
Okay.
And I mean, one of us complained quite a bit about the little shot. And one of us was like, that was easy. I was the one of us that said that was easy. So sometimes there are some, there can be differences between men and women, but just, I am teasing. But you know, I will tell you that I think there's strength in difference. I believe that it's beautiful men having a certain set of strengths. I think that women have a certain set of strengths. And I think together we are so unstoppable. And so I don't necessarily look at it as what can this man do that I can't do, or what can this woman do that I could do? I view it as, what can I do? What can I learn from Phil? What can I learn from, you know, Mary or Sue or John? What can I learn from each other? And so I think that one of the challenges about today is that sometimes we are competing with each other, and oftentimes people are complaining about each other versus coming together and looking at what can we take from the best of us? And so I may not have answered your question well, but I would just say that I believe that having strengths for men and for women is wonderful. And it's something that we should lean into. And then we should find a way to come together to be as strong as we can as a united community.
And as you know, being a faith person, we all know the old parable where my brother or my sister lacks, let me be there for them and lift them up, right? Differences is a beautiful thing. Working together, it can paint a beautiful picture. I love that. If there is one final thing you would want to leave with your audience about being resilient, what would it be?
Have belief in yourself. That's the most important thing about being resilient. You have to believe more than anyone else in you. And so when you have that belief that your dreams are just as valuable and great as the next person's dreams, that your hopes are just as great and valuable as the next person's hope, that moment of self-realization is how you become resilient. Mm-hmm. It is going to allow you to realize that you may be going through a struggle, but that's not where you're going to stop. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to keep on going and you're going to get to where you need to be. And so I would just say, you know, be you authentically and have that belief in yourself.
That is so awesome. And on that note, what a powerful session. What a great way to start off 2022, talking about our landscape that we're all dealing with, talking about resilience and how important it is to you. Angela, I thank you. Andrea, Charles, Latoya, Latanya, let's have a powerful 2022. Everyone have a great day. See you at the next Real Career Talk.